You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Today is Wednesday, April 23rd, 2008, and welcome to episode 16 of the Wells Tech Podcast. I'm Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we're your hosts for our weekly conversation about technology and ministry. Good morning, Sally. We have a special guest with us today sitting in the luxurious recording studios in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, i.e. my I don't know what the dimensions are of my office here, but spartly populated and decorated, is Jeremy Bakken, who is the administrative assistant for the Wells Youth Discipleship. Welcome, Jeremy.
Good morning.
Jeremy's with us because he wants to both participate and learn. They're thinking about doing some podcasting in youth discipleship. Is that right, Jeremy?
Correct, yeah, with our Parents Crosslink website especially.
Okay, and we've kind of decided that today is Internet Evangelism Day. We're going to play an interview with Gonzalo Degadillo, who is somebody within our circles who is really using the Internet to reach out, and just an exciting conversation that we had with him that we're going to share in two parts, the first part today and the second part next week. Jeremy, within youth discipleship, you take internet evangelism seriously as well, I think perhaps more so than maybe any other area, mostly through websites. So you're trying to reach a couple different audiences with the websites within youth discipleship?
Correct. We have about five websites total, and they target different age groups. We have our Kids Connection website for grade school age youth. We have our Living Bold website for teens. We've got the Parents Crosslink website for parents. We've got our main website for workers in youth ministries. So we've got a lot of different areas that we cover, and each one of those sites, we're looking for new ways to reach out to people, especially on the audio and video side of things.
Great, and you know, certainly the Lord's blessings on what you're doing within, you know, within those websites, and hopefully that podcasting will be another avenue. I think there's a lot of things that maybe we're going to talk about today, and as you branch out, that's certainly where the youth are.
Right? Absolutely, absolutely.
You're listening to that audio content, and I don't see too many youths today without iPods in their back pocket and earphones in their ears.
That's very true.
As I mentioned, we wanted to talk about internet evangelism. One of the reasons we wanted to do that is that next Sunday is Internet Evangelism Sunday, and there's a website dedicated to that effort, and there's some great resources sitting on that website, and we'll post a link to that, but the website is InternetEvangelismDay.com. So April 27th is designated as Internet Evangelism Day. This is not a Wells thing, not even a Lutheran thing, but a coalition of Christian organizations, Billy Graham Crusade, Campus Ministries, ForMinistry.com, Gospel.com, a bunch of evangelical types of organizations got together and said, we need to emphasize the use of the Internet for evangelism purposes. And while you may not have an Internet Evangelism Day in your church, there are some great resources on that website that help us consider what we can do on the Internet to spread the Word of God. And we're going to talk through a few of those things and also highlight some things, Sally, that we do within the Wells.net family of websites for evangelism.
That's right, Martin. I think one of the key things that you need to remember, I just bet it's all over the place on that Internet Evangelism Day website, is to put yourself in the role of a first-time visitor. And way too often when I visit church websites, what I see is the inner workings of the congregation, the kind of things that their members need to be made aware of, but there's not that attention to that first-time visitor, and particularly to those who are non-Christian. You know, reaching out with just that gospel message should be key to your presence on the web, and I think that's what probably a pretty common theme that you're going to see as you explore the resources available on InternetEvangelismDay.com.
right you are, and we're going to get into those in just a minute. But maybe before we do that, Wells has its own website that's really devoted to Internet evangelism, right, Sally?
That's right. We've talked about it before here on the show, and it's called whataboutjesus.com. It's done by our evangelism area, and it is totally targeted to the non-Christian who wants to learn more about Christianity, more about God's Word, and the truths of the Bible. And just an excellent resource to send anyone to for great Bible study materials, questions and answers, devotions, studying up on the readings that are going to be part of the next Sunday's lectionary series that's in many of our churches and that kind of thing. So just a wonderful blessing to us. And if you aren't making use of the What About Jesus website, I really encourage you to link to it from your congregation's website so that you can tap into those resources that are done at the synod level and you know, feature them on your own church website.
Let's talk a little bit about InternetEvangelismDay.com, and I just wanted to point you to a couple resources there that I thought were excellently done. Obviously, you have to be discerning as you read through some of the material, but I think in general, just good nuts and bolts kinds of things when you're thinking about building an evangelistic website. One of those sections is entitled The Web Marketing Checklist, 32 Ways to Promote Your Website. Just some good common sense things. They talk about search engine strategies, how to put a page title together that's going to be searchable by the search engines and indexed appropriately, how to use keywords, using keywords and hyperlinks. And then they have a whole section on traditional or using linking strategies, how to get other outside links to come into your site, which increases the relevance of your particular entry on search engines like Google. Then they have traditional strategies, you know, putting your URL on stationery, business cards and your literature and your brochures, using traditional media to advertise your website. They have a section on email strategies and some recommended resources and just a whole bunch of stuff on that page. And I found that each of these are probably worth some discussion time within a church's internet ministry group. If you have a group such as that, perhaps that's a subgroup of your outreach committee, or maybe a subject of a meeting with your outreach committee at your local congregation or your school as well, because these apply to school marketing strategies as well. Just a great shopping list of things that you can do. Second one would be something entitled 70-plus Tips for Effective Church Sites. I get this question a lot. We're building a church website. How in the world do we make this compelling? How do we get people to visit it? What things should we consider? And here are 70 tips that you can take advantage of about design, about audience, about imagery, using internal pages, meet our member pages, links, bridging pages, welcome pages, just all kinds of different things that you should be considering when you're building a website. And we'll put all of these links together in the show notes. A third site, that a third area of the InternetEvangelismDay.com site that I found interesting is a whole section called Video and the Web. Sally, this is an area that is really exploding on the Internet, and I think it's just beginning to touch church and school websites at this point. The ability to put video, compelling video, video that's going to, that has a message out there on evangelistic websites.
That's right, Martin. And coming up a little bit later in the show, I'll share a story where someone asked me about that just this weekend. You know, it's a topic that's on our minds. It's something that we're realizing that we can do for an affordable price, but yet we want to do it well. And it's something that there is a little bit of a learning curve there, but I think that many congregations could take advantage of the resources available to share video and just go into a whole new level with their internet outreach.
And kind of a side site to that, and just a link off of that site, is a whole section devoted to using mobile phones and other mobile devices for evangelistic purposes. This is an area, and the U.S. is a little bit behind some other areas of the world, especially Japan, where everybody has a cell phone and everybody uses a cell phone in day-to-day activity, not just for making calls, but internet access and text messaging And that is really going to be an area, and I would think, Jeremy, for you to think about in reaching youth.
Absolutely. Everybody knows that every teen just about has a cell phone, and they're texting on them constantly, and being able to communicate the gospel to them in via the medium that they're used to using most often is definitely something that we would be interested in.
Part of evangelism is being where the people are, and for youth especially, that's where they spend their time.
Absolutely.
This site talks about a number of different mechanisms or things to think about, pieces of content as far as putting out text messages or other mobile-type content, including downloadable Bibles and books. They talk about text messaging. Sally, what else do we have on Wells.net that would be helpful when we talk about Internet evangelism?
Well, there was one area that I wanted to point to in particular, and that's our Wells.net RSS feeds. Wells.net is just chock full of great content. We have daily devotions and daily Bible readings. We have daily prayers, lots of different things, and not just just the global devotions, but also specific devotions for different populations. There's devotions that are coming out of the Living Bold website targeted to our teens, and devotions from the college age website as well, our campus ministry area. And what I just encourage you to do is make use of those Wells.net RSS feeds to enhance your congregational website. What it's going to do for you is give you instant content that's regularly updated, most of it on a daily basis. And so you are feeding your congregation and your church site visitors with up-to-date information and regularly updated information. And we'll make sure and include a link to that. There's instructions for how to add RSS feeds to your congregation website, and then also links to all the different RSS feeds that are available from Wells.net. It's a treasure chest. It's a great thing to explore and make use of on your congregation website.
Sally, I think one thing that you mentioned earlier is really worth repeating again and talking a little bit more about, and that's the fact that when congregations are thinking about building websites, most websites that I see across our synod and in churches in general are pretty member-focused. They use terms that only members would understand. There's acronyms, there's the alphabet soup, and they're not thinking about the real purpose and the intended audience, perhaps, of their website. And that's not to say that you can't have websites for members. I think that's important as well. But it's hard to do both. It's hard to create a website that is both appealing to first-time visitors and easy for them to find information about your church that they're looking for, and also provide the depth and wealth of information that you want to share with your membership to get them engaged and involved. So that would be probably job one when you're thinking about building a website, is determining who that audience is, and then go about building a site that's going to appeal to that audience and get the job done. And if it's a first-time visitor, you really need to think about things like navigation, you know, keeping that simple, creating URLs short and sweet, making it easy for that first-time visitor to your website, keeping things so easy that they can find information, you know, with just a click or two, whether they really don't have to fish around and know where they're going to find that information. Part of that is also creating a visually appealing website. One website that I would recommend that every church look at as they're designing their website is a website called churchbeauty.com. This is a website that collects some of the most well-done, you know, visually engaging and perhaps well-architected sites that churches are doing out there. They rate them. They're constantly added to them. There's comments that can be posted against these particular designs, and it's just a great resource to look at before you begin designing your site about some of the things that other churches are doing and some things that they're including on their website. And you can see in some cases they make a high priority of making it easy for a first-time visitor to get information. Many of them that I was looking at here include a special button that says, you know, first-time visitor, click here, or never visited for, click here, or new to us, click here, where it's real obvious where to go on that website. If you've got a website that is for both, you know, member and visitor, make it clear how to get to the area of the website that's going to be most applicable to what you're looking for. So churchbeauty.com.
You know, Martin, I bet if we were to poll website designers, you know, those that do it for a living, not just volunteers who are trying to help their congregation out, we'd find that many, many website designers get their ideas from looking at other people's websites. And so, you know, if I were to recommend to someone how to get started, I would say go and find three websites that you like that are appealing to you and, you know, easy to navigate and all of those kind of things, and model your website after them. So being able to look at these congregations' websites that have been selected for their user-friendliness and that kind of thing is going to give you lots of ideas for your own website.
Jeremy, in Youth Discipleship, you just did a redesign for your Living Bold website, right?
Yeah.
What were you thinking about when you thought about how to design that? What kind of things did you have in mind?
Well, we definitely wanted to make the navigation of the site as simple as possible. Especially on the front page, eliminating all the clutter and making it not so text-heavy, having a little bit more what we'd call white space so that it's very easy to see the distinct parts. And we did just what Sally was mentioning. We went out and looked for a template design that we thought was visually appealing and that would house our content in a way that teens would be able to navigate quickly and easily. They wouldn't have a lot of questions as to what they needed to find. So we did exactly that.
Are you getting any feedback yet on that redesign, and you know, what kind of results are you seeing?
Well, with most websites, your number one indicator is traffic, and traffic has definitely gone up since we redesigned the site. And one thing we did is created a discussion board on the site that said, "What do you think of this site?" And so far, the responses that we've gotten on that board have been quite positive.
Great idea. Obviously, part of the challenge is marketing the site. You can build the best website in the world, but if people don't know about it, you've really wasted your time.
Exactly.
So I think there is a challenge there, and that's where you get kind of a mix of traditional promotional techniques, where you can't just build a website and expect people to come, but you've got to use, you know, the other techniques or the other traditional mechanisms to reach out, whether that be direct mail or getting the word out through the local congregations or, you know, through other mediums, just to say, hey, this is available. And then, of course, where I think it begins to grow is just that word of mouth. Hey, there's some cool stuff here. And there's the challenge for you, is to keep that content coming so that there's a reason to come back.
Right. New content is important. And, of course, with teens, it's difficult to keep up with that. In the world of MySpace and Facebook, content is changing not just on a daily basis, but on an hourly
or even
minute-to-minute basis. So trying to keep up with that dynamic is a challenge, but it's a fun challenge.
So there's certainly a commitment there, you know, that you've got to make.
That
you can't just dip your toe in the water. You really have to make an investment both in time and resources.
Right. If you're going to do it, you got to work at it.
Yep. Speaking of commitment, and we're going to play the interview with Gonzalo here in a second. There's an individual who is committed to sharing the Word of God through every possible channel. And we're going to hear the first part of that interview in just a second here. On that, I just wanted to mention as a lead-in to that interview, on the InternetEvangelismDay.com site, there are many types of resources that talk about using different channels, not just websites, but blogs and things that Gonzalo is going to talk to us about. So take a listen to our conversation with Gonzalo Delgadillo, who is the director of Spanish Publications for Multi-Language Publications, which is a division of our Wells World Missions. And we will play part one, and then next week come back and we'll listen to Gonzalo and continue to talk about what he's doing and how God is blessing his work on the Internet and through Internet evangelism. Joining us today is Gonzalo Delgadillo from El Paso, Texas. He is the Director of Spanish Publications for Multi-Language Publications, a division of Wells World Missions. Thanks for joining us, Gonzalo.
It's my privilege.
Wonderful to have you, and we've been thinking about talking to you for some time because many of the things that we talk about on the Wells Tech podcast have to do with internet evangelism, and that we're devoting the show to that today. And we thought, boy, this would be a great time to talk to Gonzalo because he is doing some wonderful things with internet evangelism, especially in the Spanish-speaking world. Gonzalo, maybe you can tell our audience a little bit about yourself, your background, what you're currently studying, and what the future might hold for Gonzalo.
Thank you very much. It's my privilege to be here in this edition, and I hope that what we talk will serve other people. And before I introduce myself, I want to make public my recognition to our tech group in Milwaukee, because some of the things we have done are because you are a great backup for us. I have experiences of just giving an idea and the next day it's working. So it shows how effective, how devoted you are to this type of work.
Yes. Very much appreciated. We love doing it. So.
Yeah, I know. About me, I was born in Bogota, Colombia, in South America. I received a degree in electrical engineering from Columbia National University, and I got a master's degree from Ohio University. I'm married to Maria Ines and have two children, Gonzalo and Juan Jose. I became a member of our Wells Lutheran Mission in Colombia, and that's what I tell people, that I'm a product, a fruit of Wells World Missions. And when the missionaries left the country because of different situations, my brother and I and two other men got in charge of our church there in Colombia. With the years, I moved to Orlando, and I worked with a manufacturing company in the engineering department, and at the same time as I was a member of the Risen Savior Church in Orlando. And I received the invitation to participate in the Pastoral Studies Institute, and then I started doing that. And at the end of 2005, I received an invitation to be to work here in multi-language publications, and then I moved in January 2006, and I've been here for now more than 2 years, and I will have the blessing, according to God's will, to receive my diploma as a Wells pastor next May 23rd from Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. So I feel very blessed, and I think this is something that shows how God works through Wells World Missions and Latin American Missions.
Wonderful. We look forward to having you as a full-fledged pastor in the Wells and continuing your wonderful work. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing even before you have that piece of paper that says you're a pastor within the Wells. I know that you've tried some interesting things, certainly on the internet, as far as the ability to spread your faith in certainly the Hispanic world.
Yeah, I discovered, and I have been very motivated reading what happened during our Reformation times in 1517 and 1520, when Martin Luther, the only technology that was available for him was the tracts. And I'm impressed to reading news that he printed more than 300,000 copies. And with that, those tracts, Europe and the world was impacted. So today we have the press, we have TV, radio, phones, cell phones, CDs, and internet, and God has provided us much more opportunities and means than Luther had at his time. So I discovered that internet is an easy way to connect with people, is an easy way to reach people. And that's what I started developing and trying to make contact with people through internet.
So how did you find those people that you perhaps had never even met on the internet?
Well, it's so interesting. The first thing that I discovered is that there is a place, it's a popular place called Facebook.com. At the beginning, I didn't want to participate in that because I felt that it's a place where bad things appear. So I thought that I shouldn't be there. But one day, my son talked to me and said, "Aren't you there? Many companies search the friends people have so they can investigate what kind of person is a person." So I said, well, my son tells me that, I will try that. And I discovered that a place like that is a great opportunity for interchange and for developing what do we need for evangelism. One of the hardest things is to develop new contacts. So I will tell you at least two examples. I used to be a teacher many, many years ago, teaching geometry in my country. And a former student looked for me in Facebook. She lives in Cartagena, Colombia, and she found me. And then we start talking. And, of course, the only thing I talk about is about the kingdom of God. So I started talking to her about what she thinks about this matter, and she became very much interested. And it's incredible. During the last 2 weeks, we have completed more than 2 hours of Bible study with her. And besides that, she introduced me to a lady who is of Indian family. So for me, it's a great example to show how it works. Another example is Rodrigo Correa from Brazil. He searched for me. He found me. And he called me and said, well, I found you here in Facebook. I want to subscribe to the Lutheran Messenger. That is a magazine that we publish in Spanish. So the only thing I can say is I thank God for providing this tool. And I know that it will help us. We have several groups for Hispanic people. We have one called the Hispanic Lutherans of the World. At this moment, we have 85 people. And we haven't started moving that group because what I'm expecting is to have at least 100 people and then try to talk to some leaders and start moving that group. So it's a little still today, but I hope that in the future it will work. We have a group of Sunday school teachers, and we have a group of Hispanic outreach, and people are joining. And I think that it will help us to get more
And this is all on Facebook?
Yeah, this is on Facebook. Okay. Of course, I know that there are some bad things there, but I discovered also that when people are in a network, it's hard to get related with other networks. So it's like being in the street where you find different kind of places or stores. Well, you just go to the ones you like and you avoid the others.
Right. Gonzalo, when you were walking through, you mentioned 2 hours of Bible study that you just completed. How did you do that? Was that through just through the give and take of Facebook, or was that using other technology like Skype or audio conferencing, those kinds of things?
Right. After the contact is made, then we move to a system that allows us to speak or have imaging. So what I most use and I recommend to our people of our fellowship is to have an address in Skype.net. And I use it because it allows today up to 24 people at the same time. And not only connecting computers, but also telephones. And we already have experienced that. Of course, using only internet is free. Whenever we dial a telephone, we have to pay some money, but it's a great tool because many people can be integrated. It's very fast, it's very easy to start a conference, it's just some clicks and everything is done. So that's the system that I'm more using, and this is the system that I use daily to connect with different mm-hmm. people in different places of the world. So I don't have any shares or anything at Skype. Yeah, sometimes people may think, well, this guy may have some economic interest. No, is that this is what I have found is the best system, the free system available in internet, and that's what I'm using it. Of course, if I discover something better, or I will use it, because we need to spread this type of systems.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Gonzalo, I understand that in addition to the one-on-one type Bible studies that you've been doing, you've also been doing some video worshiping as well, using some video conferencing solutions. How did you get started with that, and how well is that going for you?
Well, actually, we don't use the video system because Skype only allows video or imaging for two people at the same time. We use only sound. And what happened is this. In 2006, in November, our committee recommended us to start a program called Bible Study Program. This program is a program of distributing free self-study books throughout the world. And we started searching for students in different countries, and suddenly we discover one of our Lutheran families that has moved to Spain. We discovered another family, Lutheran family, Hispanic family, that has moved to France, and a family in Colombia. So we started studying those books, and after 2 or 3 months, they decided, why don't we try to establish or gather as a church? So what happened is that since March last year, we have been having classes daily with the family in Spain at 11, my time here in El Paso. I have a class with the family in Spain. We are studying Search the Scriptures. We are about to finish that book. At the same time, at 2 p.m., I have a class with the family in France. And Friday nights, we have the class with the family in Bogota. And we started in Easter last year. We had the first service of our virtual church. We have a church that gathers every Sunday at 8 a.m. in the morning, and I'm the person who starts the conference, and at this moment, we are having the family in France, the family in Spain. We have a man in Dortmund, Germany. We have a family in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and sometimes people from Coon Rapids and in Minnesota, and San Bonifacios in Minnesota gathered with us. And we also have people from Colombia, from Medellin. So sometimes we have 10 connections at the same time. And it's a great blessing. People are really enjoying and being blessed with this. And how God bless, during the last 2 weeks, a new person from Colorado joined. She's like a missionary, and she's doing something that even I don't know how to do it. She's recording the services every Sunday, and then she takes it to her church, to people who speak Spanish, and also she brings the bulletins to them. So it's a multiplication of this system, and we already created what we are calling also our Internet Bible mm-hmm. Institute. Of course, this all has resulted without we planning to do it. It's something that appeared, and I hope that some organization, some group of our synod will get in charge of this, because of course what we do here at El Paso is to produce written material and distribute it. So I know that our ministry is not to broadcast or to teach, or but it's impossible for us to don't do it, to let those people out by themselves and say, well, do whatever you can do. And it's a great privilege. It's something that I enjoy very much. I'm so happy every Sunday my alarm clock sounds at 6 a.m., so I'm ready about 6:30 in the morning, and it's so nice to start seeing the people connected. And sometimes, if I don't see a person connected, I call by the telephone and I say, well, what's mm-hmm. going on with you?
Right.
Why aren't you connected? And there are so nice experiences. 2 weeks ago, the preacher, we have preachers from different states in the state, in different countries, and 2 weeks ago, the preacher was from Medellin, Colombia, and he had problems with his computer, so he couldn't be connected. And Juan Javier from Paris called him to Medellin, Colombia, and he preached by the telephone. And we are enjoying, be blessed, was blessed by the preaching, and he did it by the telephone. So it's a blessing how God works and the possibilities we have. And I was reading yesterday and remembering that every day 200,000 new inhabitants are added to this earth. So how are we going to reach that amount of people plus the one we have already mm-hmm. in this globe? So I think internet and this system is a great means to preach the gospel, a great means to make contacts and do evangelism and outreach.
What really inspiring, Sally, to listen to Gonzalo talk about how things, what God is essentially placing in his lap, you know, opportunities, and then Gonzalo taking that and really grabbing it and taking it to the next level and saying, you know, this is a viable mechanism to share God's word, and you know, the word is working some wonderful things in some lives.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me to hear him reaching out across three continents. I just am stunned at, you know, basically how flat our world is now, and how the internet and the technology available to us is allowing us to do this at virtually zero cost. Mm-hmm. It's a very exciting time.
And we're seeing that, too, as we reach people that we never would have reached through this podcast, right?
I had the privilege this weekend of going to the LWMS Minnesota Valley Conference springtime rally, and it was held in Jordan, Minnesota, at St. Paul's Church there in Jordan. And, you know, that's just an exciting time, and of course, I'm not really going there thinking technology at all. I'm going there to hear about our world mission work, and we heard wonderful speakers. Some students from MLC shared about their semester doing mission work in Brazil, and then actually President Zarling and his wife Colette shared information about the work in the seminary in India. So lots of very inspiring mission stories were shared that day. But what struck me was it's kind of hard to get away from technology. So here I am at this LWMS rally, and worshiping there in Jordan, one of the things that's very obvious is that they have this beautiful new addition to their church, and they've added on a narthex area, a gorgeous fireplace room for kind of small group events or personal meditation time, and then they have a wonderful new fellowship hall. And to complement the fellowship hall, they also have what I would call an industrial kitchen, just well equipped with all the beautiful stainless steel appliances and very, very well done. And so right away, you know, I'm just kind of taken by how beautiful their addition was. I think they put it on in 2006. And then I had the opportunity to meet the pastor there at Jordan. It's Pastor Robert Bouchaw. And Pastor Bouchaw shared a really interesting story. He was telling us about how they came about getting all the equipment for their kitchen. And obviously it was a very well done kitchen and some very expensive stainless steel appliances and things that were part of that. But what I got a kick out of was that he told me he was an eBay junkie. And so Pastor Bouchaw actually acquired all of that restaurant level kitchen equipment on eBay. eBay.com, and never would I have thought to look on eBay for church kitchen equipment. But he said he saved over $30,000 on their equipment,
wow,
buying it over eBay and buying it from restaurants that had gone belly up. And he said, you know, they did a little bit of cleanup on it once, you know, he wouldn't necessarily wanted to eat in those restaurants, but once you clean up stainless steel, then it was just a gorgeous kitchen. And, you know, any of us Wells ladies would appreciate working in the kitchen at St. Paul's in Jordan, Minnesota. And I just had to share that story. You never know where technology is going to help you out.
Yeah, we in the well sometimes wear those special deals that we've crafted as a badge of honor. So here's a great example. Yeah, eBay is a phenomenon all by itself. But to be able to use that to be wise stewards, you know, certainly makes a lot of sense. That's neat. Up next, our picks of the week. Sally, you have a pick this week.
Well, mine's kind of a little utility that I use on a regular basis, and it's actually comes along with all of the Windows installs, and it's called Notepad. It's a simple text editor. You can find it in your Windows Start menu under All Programs Accessories, and what it allows you to do is just open it up and use it as a holding place for copying and pasting information. That's how I use it. Virtually every day that I work, I open Notepad 3 or 4 times at least. When I'm trying to gather information from the internet, I'll just drag my mouse across it and do a quick copy and paste it into Notepad. And then once I've gathered everything, I have a long list of information. I can copy it into an email or put it on a web page or whatever it is that I want to do with that information. So just a wonderful kind of holding place for me. And I introduce all the students that take classes from me to Notepad and get them hooked on it as well. One thing that it's particularly useful for is cleaning up text that you've copied. And my best example of this is if you copy something from a Word document, you may think that you're just getting the text that's on the page, but when you paste it, for instance, in an email or into a web page, you get a lot of formatting that comes along for the ride as well. Word has a lot of behind-the-scenes formatting, and it's not easy to remove that once you paste it into, say, an email or whatever. So if you first paste that information into Notepad, what you do when you copy from Notepad, what you get is just text only. You don't get any of that extra formatting. And so when you paste it into an email, for instance, you're not going to have it formatted kind of in a funny way that's different from the rest of the text in your email. And I would venture to say that almost everybody's experienced that. Mm-hmm. Just pasting something into an email and it looks weird because it had a lot of formatting that came along for the ride. And when you paste it through Notepad first, then you get rid of all that extra behind-the-scenes formatting that is very hard to control, and you get a text-only version of the text that you can then format however you want in your email or on your web page or whatever.
Yeah, and I'd almost say that if you're building a web page, a lot of people are thinking about, you know, just doing that in Word and then, you know, transferring that. You know, why not just open up Notepad, type your content right in there? One other thing about Notepad that I like, if you're just trying to focus on the content, focus on what you're writing without all the other bells and whistles maybe that Microsoft Word brings along, which can sometimes be annoying and challenging, just open up Notepad and start typing. I've talked to a lot of different authors who do exactly that, where they're not, you know, working in a word processor at all. They just want a bare-bones way to just focus on what they're writing, and they just do it in Notepad or a Notepad alternative.
And that's So typical of the work that I do. I really enjoy working in Notepad. And what strikes me as you're describing that is as I introduce students in my computer lab setting to Word and Excel and those kind of feature-rich, button-based applications, the first thing they want to do is format it. Yeah. They don't even want to type the second word of their thing. They want to format that title. Oh, my word. It'll drive me. And I'm like, no. Let's keep it simple. Guys, let's just type the text. Let's just get the. So it's a challenge with kids, especially. They're really ready to use all those buttons and things. But I'm
I don't think
on the
adults are any
extreme.
Different either.
Yeah, I like to keep it simple. I like text only, and worry about the formatting after I'm done with the work of the copy I'm trying to create. Martin, you mentioned that there are alternatives to Notepad, and Notepad is a very basic program, not a lot of features there. So if you're looking for more features, recently the Lifehacker blog did a survey, and lots of their readers offered up their opinions about alternatives to Notepad, so more feature-rich text editors, basically. Lifehacker is a blog that specializes in tech tips and tricks and things like that, and they had almost 7,000 people vote on these Notepad alternatives, and the one that was the clear favorite, got over 70% of the votes, was something called Notepad++, kind of along the lines of C++ programming language, Notepad++. So we'll make sure and include a link to that in the show notes, and it's just another text editor, allows you to do basic text editing, but has some extra features that Notepad, the Windows utility Notepad, doesn't have.
Great. For those on the Mac, a couple things that you might want to consider over and against the bundle text edit that comes with the Mac operating system are one that I've used pretty extensively is Text Wrangler, a good free resource. Or if you want to pay a little bit and get a few more bells and whistles, Text Mate. Those are two excellent resources on the Mac side. So Notepad is obviously Windows-specific. Text Wrangler, Text Mate are good options on the Mac side. Thanks, Sally. Just kind of things that we overlook, but important tools as we try and be more productive in our ministries. I'm going to focus for my pick on the week on Gmail users. There are some tools out there. If you're not familiar with Gmail, Gmail basically is an online email system, gmail.com. Free. You can have up to, I believe it's 6.5 gigabytes of emails online, and I use Gmail exclusively for my personal emails. Gmail is a kind of a culture in and of itself, and there are some tools that have popped up that will allow you to use your Gmail account to store files. It does it kind of in a funky way where it basically sends your Gmail account an attachment, and then it records where that attachment is and in what folder it is. Because Gmail out of the box does not provide this feature, but you've got 6.5 gigabytes of online storage there that you're really probably not ever going to use for all your email. So there's two tools. One is called GSpace, and that's for you Firefox users. It's basically a Firefox extension that allows you to install a little tool that creates a couple windows on your in your web browser that allow you to drag files from your local operating system, whether it be Mac or PC, doesn't matter, into your GSpace account. You can create subfolders, and you can basically upload any kind of file that you want, and it keeps track of where all those files are. There is a limit on attachment size within Gmail, which is also going to limit the size of files that you can upload to this GSpace, and that's 10 megabytes. So it's not huge, but if you're looking for some online storage or to do some backup of some important files or be able to get at files from wherever you are, great, great resource, GSpace, for you Firefox users. And then for those that aren't using Firefox but are using Windows, there's something called Gmail Drive. And this is a really cool application. It really appears as a drive letter in your Windows Explorer window. You just click on it, and then you're looking at your Gmail Drive. It appears as another drive letter. You drag files, you can create folders, you can upload, you can download, you can delete, you can rename, all kinds of cool things that you can do with that online space, that 6.5 gigabytes that is at your disposal. Why not make use of it if you're looking for online storage? So, and it's as secure as your email is on Gmail. You have a username and password. It's just a little application that gets installed. So very cool tools, especially if you are a Gmail user. Gmail is by invitation only, so you will need somebody to invite you to a Gmail account if you're interested. Each Gmail user has 50 email accounts that they or invites that they can send out. So if you don't have one, let me know. I'll send you an invite, and you can get on Gmail and start using GSpace or Gmail Drive. Those are our picks of the week. Up next, our Wells.net feature of the week. Sally, what's our feature on Wells.net this week?
Well, this week I wanted to talk a little about the Kids Connection website. Jeremy mentioned that at the top of the show as one of the ones that's done by the Youth Discipleship Office, and you can get to it at kidsconnection.tv. And just loads and loads of resources there for kids. I'll just say up front that as a parent and as a teacher in the computer lab, it's a challenge to find websites that are safe for our kids to play on. And the Kids Connection website is one that is definitely safe and very feature-rich for children to explore. There's tons of games. There's areas where they can submit their own creations, be it drawings or web-based videos or whatever, you know, it is that the kids are creating. One feature that I like in particular with the children at St. John's School is the monthly quiz. So each week the kids watch the Kids Connection video in one of their not each week, each month, obviously, doesn't come out each week, but each month they watch the Kids Connection video, and then they can take the monthly quiz as a follow-up, and they love it because it's designed just with them in mind, and it emphasizes many of the key biblical concepts and things that are talked about in the Kids Connection episodes. You can watch all of Pastor Tony Schultz's devotions online. There's a place for kids to ask questions and answers and submit their own ideas for the show. Jeremy, can you think of anything that I've missed about the Kids Connection website?
No, you've hit on pretty much everything. Probably the most used feature is the Q&A, and that's something that's on all Wells websites, but the Q&A on there, kids, believe it or not, have a lot of questions, and it's really nice that they can come to a website where they can ask those questions in a safe environment and get a good, solid, biblical answer to whatever situation it is that they're facing.
What's the age range for kids that you're seeing on that? Who's it really designed for? What's the age group?
It's basically designed for grade school age. From surveys we've done, it appears that middle grade school, fourth through maybe sixth or seventh grade, are the heaviest users of the website. The older seventh and eighth grade, they start to gravitate toward the Living Bold teen website. And for the younger kids, it is kind of text heavy at times, and so reading is kind of a prerequisite. It's hard to design a site for kids that are, say, in kindergarten or first grade, but there are kids that age that also use the website, but generally the middle grades are the ones that make use of the website.
You have videos there too, though, your Kids Connection videos?
We have previews every month. There's a 30-second preview of what's coming up in the month's episode. There's also a complete archive going back several years of the Tony Schultz devotions, which are...
Those are awesome.
They're awesome, and they're probably one of the favorite features of the entire Kids Connection production. And we've actually started archiving those on streams as well so that they can be viewed online more readily and so that we can use them on Parents Crosslink as sort of like a family devotion as well. So those are also found on the Kids Connection website.
Great. So... check it out, kidsconnection.tv. Don't go to kidsconnection.com. It's kidsconnection.tv.
Correct.
All right, great. Sally, what's coming up in the Wells world that we want to promote to our listeners?
Well, we have an exciting live streamed event coming up on April 29th. It's going to be at 9 p.m. Central Time, so convert that to whatever time zone you're in. And what we're going to do is broadcast the 50th anniversary celebration from Japan. The Japanese mission there has been in existence for 50 years, and they've been celebrating it all this year, and they're wrapping up their celebrations with this anniversary service on April 29th. So we encourage you to tune in to that. It's on streams.net, and you should go to the live tab.
URL. Streams.wells.net. First mistake this year,
Sorry.
Sally.
Oh, boy.
It's episode 16, and we... And you finally got you on one. So yeah, take a look at that. That's a neat thing. In the land of the rising sun, we're able to view or join them for worship. They'd be worshiping the following morning. Kind of a neat experience to be able to sit with our brothers and sisters in Christ on the other side of the world. So,
I also wanted to put a plug in for our ongoing contest. Mm-hmm. We're almost at the end of our contest on the Wells Tech website, and what we're looking for is for you to share your top three favorite free software tools. And there's something in it for you. We're giving away a 1 gig USB thumb drive branded with Wells Technology, so a very special keepsake that you'll want to add to your collection. And we're looking forward to our May 7th show, where we're going to dig in and explore all these different submissions that people have sent us with their free software tools, because there are so many out there. It's really neat to read about all the different ones and how they're making use of them in their ministry efforts.
It's going to be a neat show. I'm looking forward to going through some of those results. Obviously, the best way to contact the show or to enter the contest is by visiting our website, wellstech.wells.net. And you have all kinds of other avenues that you can get in touch with us. If you've got show ideas, we'd love to hear those. If you just want to talk with us, we have a voicemail line that you can use. All kinds of ways to get in touch with us. This is a conversation, and we'd like to hear your voice. So, community feedback. Those listeners that are talking to us this past week, Sally?
Yes, I had a chance to speak with Pastor Richard Tuttle. He's from St. John's in Renville, Minnesota, and he was at that LWMS rally as well. His wife, Bambi, is actually the president of our circuit. And Pastor Tuttle mentioned to me that his congregation had just recently bought a video camera, and they were looking at options for streaming their service. And I know we've talked about this in the past, Martin, but I think it's worth repeating here that there are some really excellent and affordable options out there for doing live streaming of your worship services. One of them is actually a website. It's not affiliated with Wells in any way, but it offers free streaming, and it's called Ustream.tv. That's Ustream.tv. And very quick and easy to set up an account there on the Ustream website. Hook up your video camera to your computer, and almost instantly you can be live on the internet with your worship services or Bible classes or whatever other events you'd want to stream via Ustream. And you don't have to send people to the Ustream website. You can actually embed it in your own website. Really quick and easy to do.
So, Sally, you were kind of a rock star at that LWMS conference, weren't you?
It's just
were you signing autographs too?
Yeah. Put the Wells Tech stamp on everything that I do.
That's
now,
right. So. Well, we appreciate
it's a lot of fun.
We appreciate our listeners, and this is probably more fun to do than maybe for you to listen sometimes too. So, please continue to speak to us. We want to make the show as relevant as possible, and the reason that we do it is to share with you, the listening audience, different ways to do ministry, especially as it relates to technology, because it's a quickly moving field, and we want to help you kind of navigate that. That's about it for this week, Sally and Jeremy. First of all, thank you, Jeremy, for joining us. We're going to have you come back on again and let us know if we can help you in any way in your developing podcast world.
Thank you.
We're not going to let Jeremy leave without letting our audience know that we're going to feature a choir that he is very interested in, and basically you manage and lead, correct, Jeremy?
Correct, I'm the director.
Mm-hmm. Of Revelation, that is the college choir. Well, maybe you should explain what Revelation is at Wisconsin Lutheran College, Jeremy.
Revelation is a music ministry.
That's what I was looking
Wisconsin
for,
Lutheran
music
College.
Ministry.
A smaller choir on campus. It's a student group, a club actually, going into its 20th year of existence this coming fall. Okay. And incidentally, we make use of the Final Web service for our website as well. So we're all interconnected here, making use of each other to do as much ministry as we can.
Yeah, just some beautiful voices. And as we leave you today, we're going to share with you a song from their Roll the Stone Away, or I'm sorry, from their We Walk by Faith album entitled Roll the Stone Away. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Please join us again, and we'll talk with you next week.
Roll the stone away, roll the stone away. Lord God Almighty, gonna roll the stone away. You promised you'd rise, Lord, on the third day.
Lord God Almighty.
Almighty gonna roll the stone away. I said,
roll the stone away, roll the stone away. Lord God Almighty gonna roll the stone away. We promise you rise, Lord, on the third day.
Lord God Almighty gonna
roll the stone away.
Jesus was a man, he's free from sin, you know. Well, he taught us that we reap the very things we sow. He taught us parables of light we see today. Hey, and
on the third day, he rolled the stone away.
I said,
roll the stone away, roll the stone away. Lord God Almighty gonna roll the stone away. We promise you rise, Lord, on the third day.
Lord God Almighty gonna
roll the stone away.
They mocked him and scourged him and said his words were lies. Hey, but Jesus had compassion with pity in his eyes. And I can't wait to see what he has to say.
Oh, how he felt
when he rolled the stone away.
I said, roll the stone away, roll the stone away. Lord God Almighty gonna roll the stone away. He promised you'd rise, Lord, on the third day.
Lord God Almighty gonna
roll the stone away.
But he's coming back, hey, and that's one thing for sure. Well, he's coming for the righteous, the blameless, and the pure. And I can't wait to see what he has to say.
Oh, how he felt
when he
rolled the stone away.
I said, roll the stone away,
roll the stone away. Lord God Almighty gonna roll the stone away. We promise you'd rise, Lord, on the third day.
Lord God Almighty gonna
roll the stone away.
I said, roll the stone away,
roll the stone away. Lord God Almighty gonna roll the stone away. We promise you'd rise, Lord, on the third day.
Lord God Almighty gonna
roll the stone away.
I said, Lord God Almighty gonna
roll the stone away.